Tova to everybody. We are now in the middle of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and as we know, there are a number of minhagim that we have during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There are a number of places during davening that are different during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and that's really what I'd like to speak about this afternoon for the few minutes that we have. So in order to fully appreciate that which we are going to discuss, let's begin with the following. The Hagos Maimini in Hilchos Tfila, as well as the Tur and the Beis Yosef, quote in the name of the Yerushalmi. Hasach ben yishtabach liyotzer, somebody who speaks, somebody who makes some sort of separation in between the recitation of yishtabach and the birchus kriyashma, aveira hi biyado, it is considered a terrible aveira, v'chozim aleha me'orche ha'machama, and we don't allow such a person to even serve as a soldier in the army. Like the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Sota, somebody who is sach ben tefila l'tefila, somebody who speaks in between putting on tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, also, we send them back from being in the army. You have to have tzaddikim gemurim in the army. So too, somebody who speaks in between yishtabach and yotzer is considered to be a terrible aver. And this is quoted lahalach and Shulchan Aruch Siman Nun Dalid, that one is not allowed to make any hefsik in between the recitation of yishtabach and the beginning of Birchos Kriyishma. Lemaisa, Rameir Arik writes in the Tal Torah that there is no such Yerushalmi. We don't have such a Yerushalmi. You look through all the Talmud Yerushalmi, you will not find such a passage, even though the Beis Yosef and many others quote it. This is not something that is unusual. We find very often that we have things that are quoted in the name of the Yerushalmi, supposedly, and they really are not found in our Yerushalmi. For example, the Torah Tamima writes an issue that Rabbi Billet just mentioned the other night. The Rama writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that in the name of the Yerushalmi we are told, Yesh Nagim Shelo Lishon B'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom. Some have the practice not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And he quotes this in the name of the Yerushalmi. Why? Because the Yerushalmi says somebody who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah is going to have a sleepy year. My wife just mentioned to me, I should have slept last Rosh Hashanah. I didn't get any sleep this past year. Maybe it would have been a good idea. Anyway, but there's a major question whether or not that's really what the Yerushalmi means. But even more fundamentally, the Torah Tamima writes, there is no such Yerushalmi. We don't have such a thing. So we have in a number of places where things are quoted in the name of the Yerushalmi, and the Torah Tamima explains that really, the understanding is that it's just a way of saying there was a brisa that was quoted in the name of somebody from Eretz Yisrael, and he said over the many years of Gullahs we have lost parts of the Yerushalmi that once may have been part of the Talmud Yerushalmi, part of the school of thought of those who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And nowadays perhaps we don't have it in our set of Yerushalmi that we're familiar with, but it doesn't mean that it didn't exist. So whatever it is, this is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. You're not supposed to make any hefsik between yishtabach and the Birchos Kriyishma. Why is that the case? Why do we have such an insistence that nobody should speak in between the recitation of yishtabach and the Birchos Kriyishma and Shmona Esrei? So the answer is because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, from a pasuk that we're all familiar with, Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. And from here the Gemara learns that b'makom rina sham tehe tfila. The Gemara says, any time that you want to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any time that you want to offer a tefillah, you first have to have rina, you first have to offer shevach, you have to offer praise, you have to bespeak the accolades of God, all the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam, and only then can you go and offer a tefillah and ask Him for something that you need. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos as well, La'olam yisader adam shivcho shel makom, first the person should make sure to speak about the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'achar kach yispalon, and then afterward you should offer your tefillah. And we learn this, says the Gemara, not only from the Shmar al Harina, but also from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's davening for what he wants in his life, to enter into Eretz Yisrael, first he says, Atah achilosa laharas esabdechaz, gad lechavez, yadcha achazaka. He goes through the whole history of all the incredible miracles. And then he says, Erba neva era, now that I've sort of buttered up to the Ribono Shel Olam, now that I spoke all of your praises, now I'm going to ask for that which I need. So that's the klal. And here, says the Beis Yosef, is why one is not supposed to have any hefsik, any interruption between yishtabach and yotzer or, and the Birchos Kriyishma. Why? Because as we know, Psukei Dezimra was instituted to be that praise, to be that shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the Shemona Esrei, before we ask for that which we need. And this is bookended by Baruch Sha'amar on the one hand, Ashrei in the middle, yishtabach on the other hand. That is the entire Psukei Dezimra. You can't have a separation between that and when you're starting your tefillah. The Birchos Kriyishma and the Shemona Esrei that will follow is the next unit of davening. And if you're going to have any sort of hefsik in between, that's going to break up this flow that we're supposed to have of first b'makom rina sham tehe tefillah. And that's where the Beis Yosef says in the name of the Kolbo that one should be careful to go directly, immediately from yishtabach into the Birchos Kriyashma and not have any delay. However, Shulchan Aruch writes, there is an exception to the rule. The Shulchan Aruch says, for a Dvar Mitzvah, one has the right to be mafsik. For example, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have an ani, someone's going, suffering a foreclosure, and the community is not really understanding how dire the situation is, they have a right to get up right in the middle of davening before Yishtabach, if it's really a very dire need. For a real tzedakah cause, for a very important cause, you have a right to even make a hefsik, to make a separation, an interruption in between Yishtabach and Yotzer. My father told over the story, I called him today just to make sure I remembered it properly. He says there was a woman who lived in Boston, her name was Mrs. Millen. She was there when Rav Soloveitchik was the rabbi there. And she told my father that at the time, there was no functioning mikveh in Boston, and this was causing a major problem. People like herself needed to use the mikveh, and she was a God-fearing woman, and the mikveh needed tremendous repair, and nobody was willing to put up the money. So Rabbi Ginsburg was the rabbi of the shul. He was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. So he was a great Talmud Chacham. She went to him and asked, what am I supposed to do? So he said, look, it says over here in Shulchan Aruch that when you have a tremendous cause, a very important need, you're allowed to stop the davening in between Yishtabach and Yotzer and make sure they don't say Baruch Hu. So he said, tomorrow morning, come to shul with all the women. You should walk down from the balcony right in the middle of davening, and before the chazan gets up to Baruch Hu, you stop the davening and you protest that everybody has to put up money in order that we should have the mikveh in the community. Lo and behold, the next day, that's what they all did. The women come down, parading down into the middle of the shul, right before they start Baruch Hu, and they start screaming that we need a mikveh. And everybody in the shul is furious. How do you stop the davening in the middle? We're about to say Birchos Kriyashma. We're about to say Baruch Hu. How do you stop the davening? They said, Rabbi Ginsburg told us to do this. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And that's the way the mikveh was built. Everybody put up the money because they realized that davening would not continue unless they took care of the problem. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. When you have a real important cause, like building a mikveh or something of that nature, you're allowed to stop the davening then. Now here is the problem. The Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Arizal, that the Arizal had the practice based on Kabbalistic sources that we should say during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, in between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, we should say the Pizmon of Shir HaMalos Mima Makim Kerasicha Hashem. And this is the practice in many communities, that they follow the Arizal, that they say a Mizmor of Tehillim then. Now, it goes so far that the Kaf HaChaim even discusses, what if a person doesn't really understand why we're saying it now? I don't really understand why we're saying it. Look, Tehillim is very nice all the time, but what's the reason why I'm saying this Mizmor in particular? All Tehillim is beautiful. So the Kaf HaChaim says that the Arizal had all kinds of Heluga Kavanas involved when he instituted this practice, and the Kaf HaChaim has a suffix. What if a person, most of us, don't have any idea what all the Kavanas are when we say this? Kaf HaChaim isn't even sure. Are you allowed to say it if you don't have all the Kavanas? Which would disqualify all of us, I assume, or most people. Most of us don't know what the Arizal had in mind. Anyway, this is the practice the Magen Avraham quotes. And the Magen Avraham says, I don't really understand how we can justify it. After all, we have a passage in Shulchan Aruch that says you're not allowed to make a hefsik in between Yishtabach and Birchos Kriyashma. How do we get up now and just start saying a Perek of Tehillim? What does that have to do with Psukei Dezimra? What does that have to do with anything? We're all of a sudden offering a tefillah right in the middle of davening when we're not supposed to. And therefore the Magen Avraham is Hiniach B'Tzarachi, and he says, this is the practice of the Arizal. I don't quite understand how it's allowed. And he says, I don't really understand why we're allowed to make a break here in the middle of davening. On the side of the page, you have the Magen Avraham. Then on the side, the very small letters, on the side of the page, you have the comments of the Dagel Mirvava, who's the Nodeb Yehuda. So the Nodeb Yehuda says, Ani Tama Al Tmiyaso. I don't understand what is the question of the Magen Avraham. The Arizal gives us this practice that we should say Shir HaMalos Mima Makim during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. What's the problem? That's not considered a hefsek at all. After all, don't you know, Magen Avraham, don't you know that the Rambam says there were many communities who used to say Yishtabach at the end of Psukei Dezimra, and before they went in to say Baruch Hu, they would say Az Yashir after Yishtabach. That was the practice that the Rambam quotes. Not like we do today that we say Az Yashir in the context of the Psukei Dezimra. They used to say it afterwards, and therefore he writes, I don't understand the problem. The same way you're allowed to say Az Yashir, which is a tefillah in the middle of the Yishtabach and Yotzer, so too you're allowed to stick in Shir HaMalos Mima Makim. What's the problem? The Emek Bracha and others argue that's not an equal comparison. Az Yashir is part of the Shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Az Yashir is furthering the praise of Hashem. You say, look what happened at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Look at all the miracles. You're praising Hashem even more. That's not considered a hefsik. That's part of Psukei Dezimra. But here, to throw in a bakasha, to throw in a tefillah of Shir HaMalos Mima Makim, asking for Hashem to save you, that's not the appropriate place, and that seemingly should not be something that is allowed. And this is a major point of discussion, a major point of debate, whether or not it's correct, or perhaps it's not correct. This is a major issue. The Mishnah Berurah seems to agree with the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah says, I don't really understand the justification, I don't really understand where this comes from, and I don't really know why this should be allowed. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that perhaps this should not be a practice that is accepted. So there are many different opinions about this. I know that my father writes in one of his svarim that Rav Soloveitchik, different years did different things. He wasn't sure exactly how to handle this Shira Malas Mimamakim. One year he did one thing, and then someone came over to him and showed him in the Machzor that it says otherwise, and Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to make a big deal about it, so he says, oh, my Machzor says differently, I'm sorry I made a mistake. Something like that. He just brushed him off, he didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but it really is a big deal. It's not clear exactly how to justify the practice and whether or not it really is justified. There are some communities that do it, and there are other communities that do not. I do think it's worthy of mentioning, though, that even if you're from the communities that do not, let's say I grew up, my father always told me that this is not our practice, and he said, and while you always, all the years, they did not have this practice, until he said that a chassidish bal tefila, not a chassid, but someone who came from a chassidish family, who was used to the nusach ha-tefila that his grandfather had taught him, so he just went along and said the Shir HaMalas Mimam Makim, and that's how it crept into YU. But my father told me that that was never the practice in yeshiva, and now they have stopped it during the week. He said they don't say Shir HaMalas Mimam Makim because that was not really the practice that the yeshiva had. Many of the Lithuanian yeshivas do not have the minhag to say Shir HaMalas. It's more of a chassidish minhag. So, not sure how it came to this shul. I don't know who set down the minhagim of the shul. But anyway, it's based on the Arizal, and I'm not making light of the minhag. It's a very, very strong-rooted minhag, but it's a major question whether or not it's something we should be doing. I would mention, though, that let's say you're like me. I come from a family where we don't do this, and where my father has told me this is not our practice. I think it's worthy of mentioning that when you're in a shul, when they do say it, you cannot just stand there and be silent while everybody else is saying whatever it is that they're saying. That's based on a comment that the Gemara has and the Rishonim expound upon. Let's say the Magen Avraham writes the halacha. When you have a tzibur that's in the middle of saying Aleinu l'shabech, and you happen to run in because you're trying to catch the next minion, so the Magen Avraham says you have to make sure to say Aleinu along with them, because it shouldn't look like you don't believe in the God that they're all speaking to, that they're all praising, they're all speaking about. You cannot just be Yoshe V'domim. You can't just sit there in the shul and pretend as if you have nothing to do with that which is happening in the shul. And similarly, the Magen Avraham writes, let's say you have somebody who's saying Kriya Shema. So you have the shulas reciting Kriya Shema, and you happen to be at a different part of davening. You're supposed to stop whatever you're doing and make yourself available to say Kriya Shema along with the rest of the tzibur, because it doesn't look proper that everyone's being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim and you're the odd man out. So over here as well, when you have a community that's all saying Shir HaMalas Mimam Akim, whether you like the minig or not, whether you're from the family that has such a minig or not, if you're in a community that says it, you cannot just sit there silently. Doesn't mean you have to say Shir HaMalas Mimam Akim. It could be you just finish up Psukah DeZimra. Let's say like me. It takes me much longer to say Psukah DeZimra than most people in the shul for some reason. So I take that time when we say Shir HaMalas Mimam Akim, I just finish off the Psukah DeZimra that I haven't had the chance to say. So that's something that one should be aware of, not just to sit there quietly. Let me just make one last comment in the name of the Dubna Magid. I saw a beautiful comment that he says, on this Pizmon, on this Mizmor of Tehillim, we say, Hashem Shema B'Koli. We ask that God should listen to our voices. So he writes, why do we ask that he should listen to our voice? Why don't you say, listen to our words? We sit here and we flip the pages through the Siddur and we ask for so many different things, and we daven Shemona Esrei and we say the Slichos, and there's so much there. Why do we ask that God should listen to the voice instead of God listening to the words? So the Dubna Magid, as he famously used to do, gave a mashal to this to give a deeper understanding. And he says that this is comparable to a person who is gravely ill. And people suggested to this individual, to this patient, that the only way to take care of yourself is to go to this very famous, world-famous doctor who's an extremely prominent doctor, very well-regarded in his area of medicine. And you should try to make an appointment with him, and maybe he'll have some sort of idea of how you can help cure yourself. So he signs himself up for an appointment. It was months and months away, and finally he comes there and he sees there's a long line out the door waiting to get into this doctor. He gets finally to his turn. The doctor asks him, what do you need? He says, I would like a milkshake, and maybe you can get me some fatty meats, and maybe you can get me some unhealthy foods and some chocolates. The other people on the line are looking at him like, you waited months and months to get this appointment. Now that you're coming, showing up to the doctor and crying that all you need is some fatty meats and some chocolates and things that are unhealthy for you, well, what kind of request is that of the doctor? So they say to the doctor, just throw the guy out of the office. He obviously doesn't understand what you do. He doesn't understand how you can help him. The doctor says, no, you misunderstand. He's so sick, and his tumor is so aggressively killing his body He doesn't even know what to say anymore. He doesn't even know what to ask for anymore. He's at a point in his life where he's so lost in his illness, he doesn't even know what it is that he should ask for. So he's asking for the silliest things, even though it makes no sense. He's just so overwhelmed. And the doctor says, now that I see how sick he is, now that I see how much he needs the refuah, I'm going to help him more than I'm going to help the other patients, because I see how sick he is, he doesn't even know how to think anymore. And that, says the Dubna Magid, is what it's all about when we say, Hashem Shima Bekoli. Why do we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to listen to our voice instead of listening to our words? We say so many words at this time of year, we ask for so many different variations of tefillos and bakashas, and he says, because so often we're so sick in Olam Hazeh, we're so sick in the lives that we're living, we're so lost in the world that we're living in, that we're orbiting, that we don't even realize what it is that we should be asking for. So we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, just listen to our voice. Just realize from the various requests that we have that we're so lost, that we're drowning in the world that we're living in. We don't even realize what it is that's important, that's necessary for us anymore. Just give us that which you know that we need. Don't give us the fatty meats, don't give us the chocolates, don't give us everything else, because that's what, in our perspective, we say that we need. But we ask you, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem, Shima Bekoli. And every day in Shemona Esrei, that's what we mean. Shema Koleinu. We don't ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to listen to all of our requests. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over that interpretation, that we don't ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to accept all of our requests. Sometimes we ask for something and it's not to our best of interest. Sometimes we want a particular shidduch, and maybe that's not the right girl, maybe that's not going to work out for us, but we daven for it, and we say we only wish this would work out, even though it's not supposed to work out, and it really won't work out in the long run. So the rachmanis of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that he listens only to our call. He listens to our voice that is screaming out, and that sometimes so overwhelmed with life and not really having the proper perspective and understanding what it is that we really need for ourselves to be rehabilitated and to be having a more productive life going forward, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shima Bekoli. Listen to our voices, Shema Koleinu, listen to just the voice, don't listen to the particular request that we ask for. Give us whatever it is that you feel is necessary for our lives to be most productive and most meaningful as we ask for another year of life in this time of the year.